nowhere.
There's the Audio Face episode where like lesbian sex is happening behind me while I'm recording the podcast.
Yeah, you can hear shit.
Huh?
You didn't hear shit, so.
Yeah, because I was really good at audio then.
But yeah, there's the one that I had a great conversation on classical music and delete that shit. Still makes me mad. I had some great damn good points that day.
Guess what? You've made good points since.
Yes, I have.
Not really. Start the podcast.
All right. Hello, humans. Welcome to Audio Face.
Hi.
And the reverent podcast about music, news, culture, and shit that mostly matters. This is episode 90. I'm
episode
Sean.
Episode 90. I am Dan.
Yeah, we've got just two albums for you because we have to record on Saturday. But that doesn't matter.
No, not really. I mean, we would have had two albums regardless. Because
yeah, I mean, there wasn't. So this is how does words do? We have a When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? In all caps by Billie Eilish because hipsters like caps and shit. And then Cosmic Wind by Lion Babe, the infamous hair.
Yes, Lion Babe finally came out.
And some Pet Shop Boys stolen music, what? Yes. And we got some No Chill Island and...
Okay, come on, you gotta sell this better. This is No Chill Island 10.
I was... Jesus. Just let me do my thing. But okay, fine.
Do better.
Fine. Jesus. Some random stories here or there, some tax evasion, you know, some Holocaust things and shit. So it'll be a normal day, normal weekend, normal neoliberal weekend. So let's hit it off running. We got Avicii starting that off. Yeah, we didn't do our arbitrary scales before, so we'll just make that up on the fly.
We'll figure it out.
We'll do it live. So Avicii, his family's allegedly going to launch a mental health and suicide prevention foundation. Holy shit, because it's the 1 year anniversary of his passing.
Yeah, that's
it's been, already been a year.
It's been a really long year and a really short year all in one.
It's been a super short, shitty year for me, but.
No, but just like in general.
Yeah, wow. That's just insane to me.
But yeah, it's going to be the Tim Bergling Foundation. Its initial mention will, quote, focus on supporting people and organizations working in the field of mental illness and suicide prevention.
Right.
The foundation will also work in the fields of climate change, development assistance, nature conservation, and endangered species. So hopefully they don't use any planes.
Well, if you do, just make sure you don't have that autopilot turned on randomly. Yeah, anti-stall.
No Boeings.
don't fly Boeing. I would short Boeing stock if I was anybody in the stock market right now. But that's kind of wild. It's already been a year. And I'm glad that his family's doing something about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, The Cure, apparently, they are planning a new album for Halloween this year.
Yeah. That's exciting. They haven't released an album in a minute, right?
I don't remember the last time. They've done an album. It's probably been like over 20 years, maybe. So apparently it's supposed to be dark and incredibly intense for Halloween release, which Halloween is my least favorite holiday of all year because it's not a holiday. It's just when I get sick and when little children come up to my door and be like, trick or treat, and I said, get the fuck off my lawn.
As a Jehovah's Witness, I just have an interesting relationship with the Halloweens and holidays in general, you know, the pagan shit. But no, 413 Dream was an album The Cure released in 2008.
2008, really? Okay.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but yeah, it's definitely been a minute. It'll be interesting to kind of hear about that.
I didn't even know they released anything in 08, Jesus. All right, that's news to me.
It's still been a minute.
That's 11 years, so that's a long time. Now for the Sean was right corner.
You can't hear eye rolls, but that happens. So
this is actually a very good point too, because I didn't know the extent of this or whatnot. So Matty Healy, you know, my man crush from the 1975, he is blasting labels for monetizing artist meet and greets. So he went on Twitter and went on like a little rampage on it, stating how who came up with paid meet and greets? Did they think, surely there must be something else we can monetize? Oh, human connection, they'll eat that up. Meet your fans or don't. They'll only meet them if you're getting paid. Honestly, what are you doing? which makes sense for him because they're very, very good with their fans. They're very in tune with their fans, and they do a lot of meet and greets and other things for free. They've always done that since they've been a band. And I guess a lot of stuff, I mean, that's been going on in the industry for a while where people have been doing paid meet and greets or paid things to get into different shows, and they hate that shit. So they're trying to find different ways, I know, for the shows and stuff to get in.
It also fits in that, like, with their previous album about being about the commoditization of human connection more through social media and less through just like even just these regular interactions. Another kind of thing to point out is that you have to, ultimately time is money. I live like a capitalist every single day. And so the idea behind charging for these things is kind of to ensure that people, when you have free things, either you have too many people coming. It's just an economics issue of you can't have infinite Matty Healy time for the people who want to see it. And it also helps you kind of sell tickets or just like confirm that people will actually show up. Because if you put the amount at a small enough amount to where it's still affordable, people will still show up and like you won't have a bunch of no-show tickets.
Well, just like the LA show, what they did for that.
Right, yeah. It's a similar kind of concept. So I think there's an argument to make for charging to see artists, but that price should be very low because I think the inherent concept that Matty Healy's trying to get at is that it's a commoditization of time and human feeling, which is just like, you know, inherently kind of weird if you think about it a little bit, but we kind of just don't lately.
Yeah. I mean, they were here in 2016. They were at Fingerprints in Long Beach, and they did a free meet and greet then. I know a few people that went to that, and they were fine then. So it's something that's interesting, and hopefully more people will talk about it and shit. So it's interesting for lower artists as well to see what... for them to get bigger.
Yeah, because fan interaction is like a big part about like artists as they're coming up.
Yeah, especially up-and-coming artists, because that's obviously how they gain traction and shit, so.
And I think the way that artists interact with fans is going to change along with the internet as we get to new
that's
artists.
That's internet.
Which is which helps us segue into Billie Eilish, who released the album When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go?
In all caps.
Yes, even though all the song titles are in all lowercase.
I was about to say that. She goes all caps and then all lowercase.
I dig it. 14 songs long.
Hey, at least she's not yelling at me.
14 songs long, 42 minutes.
Okay, that's great. That's a great length.
Sean, would you like to...
joke here.
Sean, would you like to go first?
Sure.
To tackle that length?
Hate you. This is interesting because... I have seen pictures of her and shit, like, in social media. I never knew quite who she was. Like, I've heard the name and everything, but that's not my genre of music I venture into much. And I go, this is her. This makes sense. Very interesting sound. Avant-garde pop. So, emo avant-garde pop is the best way I can, like, explain this. If Bjork was American, this is what she would sound like. So, like, the first song, which is just a bunch of exclamation points, which brings me back flashbacks of bad memories. But it was just
her... song.
Exactly. It's her little skit. And she has a lot of that throughout the album. Lots of random sounds and little skits here or there in the songs. But it's very different, very experimental pop. Really, very, very dark, which I didn't expect for a sound at all. Which is a pleasant surprise. Bad Guy is kind of lo-fi with her vocals. It's kind of whisper singing for that track.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for it to, because other than You Should See Me in a Crown, I hadn't heard a lot of Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. And based on the kind of crowd of people who are liking Billie Eilish and the aesthetic of it, I was expecting it to kind of be like an XXXTentacion, a 10-10-10-Tentacion. Maybe that was the idea, because it's Roman numerals. You never know, because he got shot in the face. But I thought it was going to be that kind of issue where, like, it's really emo, punk, rock, grungy, hardcore kind of deal. And so I actually had the volume down for that entire song because I didn't want to get my ears blown out. But no, she does this, like, not quite 21 Savage whisper flow kind of thing, but just speaks very softly while going on this, like, kind of crooning tale slash autobiography about this quote-unquote bad guy.
And then I like... It was funny when I saw the track pop up called Zanny. I'm like, here we go. But she said,
it's a twist.
But there's a twist because she said, I don't need that to be happy. I go,
and she even says she doesn't want it now or ever.
Yeah, I'm like,
one of the lyrics.
Exactly. And I go, we're finally coming across the point of idiocy. It's about time. And
Billie Eilish listens to Audioface, maybe?
Maybe.
I have a lot of listeners in LA. She's from LA.
Hey, that's what's up. I was actually just genuinely surprised about this album. I didn't know what to expect, but I had kind of a stigma because normally I don't like most popular artists and stuff because it's just too generic, especially pop. But I was like, holy shit, this is pretty good. I don't know if I'll bump it, but I have to be in a mood to listen to it. But definitely respect on her art as a whole. Wish You Were Gay, which is a single I already heard before, was a good, decent track. But overall, the album is very experimental, dark. She has songs that are kind of like trap. She has some stuff that are just really out there, avant-garde, crazy, which I love. She has some popular tunes, but nothing is really overbearingly happy or bubbly the whole album. So there's that dark theme surrounding it.
I also like that also, even though it has a dark theme and it's very like, if you have the visuals on Spotify, which I think more artists are doing, it's kind of interesting.
I like the visuals.
More of a story. Yeah. I hate when it does the interface of Spotify because it makes it harder to access the controls.
Yep.
But the visuals are cool and they help, like I said,
like
tell
Lion
the
Babe
story.
Did that too as well. And
yeah, they help tell the story of
the album. Yeah.
And like, it's got this really kind of dark aesthetic to it for sure, kind of demented visuals, like a horror film. But it's surprisingly just really varied. And I think a lot of complaints I've had with some of these albums, like let's call this a singer-songwriter album, is that it focuses on one sort of emotion or topic of music and then just kind of stays with that and gets kind of dull.
Yeah.
I think that was one of my biggest complaints with Ariana Grande's most recent album.
Definitely.
And this doesn't do that. There are songs about like looking to oneself. There are songs about others and relationships and just like kind of different things. It's really varied.
So you have drugs, you have abuse, you have just people in general, you have society. Jesus. It was varied. And each song was varied in that way, but all connected together. So, I mean, yeah, genuinely surprised about it. I will give her a good rap now. So, all right.
Yeah.
I fucks with it.
Our arbitrary scale this week will be FAA approval. This will be like, how strong does the FAA approve this album? And does this album nosedive into the out of the sky and kill all on board
in Africa?
And then there's two flights, but
there's one in India and one in Africa, correct?
Let's not play musical geography. I'm gonna say this is the FAA approval of the Airbus A321. It's a nice vehicle. It's Airbus, so you know the FAA actually checked it instead of Boeing rubber stamping it, because you know Americans love themselves and don't actually think that any other institution can describe some type of geopolitical hold some sort of threat geopolitically to the country. Sean's just very uncomfortable with this. It's no chill island, so I'm just like,
no,
there's
no chill island. I don't want to get bleeped yet. This is a solid Boeing 747, like solid, dependable, reliable, all reliable, no nosedives. Lots of different airlines, you know, Qatari Airlines.
I do want to say another.
Whoa.
So there's also one other thing I want to add. So the co-writer for this album, who is actually the person who wrote two of the songs, like solely, is actually Billie Eilish's brother.
That's really fucking cool.
And so
actually,
it was those two, and I think he's actually the other voice in the skit. But it was those two who kind of wrote the album a lot, and he produced or co-produced a lot of the sounds in the track. So gotta give props to him. And I think, so I was like, lyrically, and I think like lyrically, some of the songs where like his writing really stands out are My Strange Addiction, which he wrote entirely himself. Just add some friction. You are my strange addiction. You But yeah, I think it's got to be shout out to him because it's really good. But yeah, this is a very, very, very good album. It might be one of my top pop albums this year, to be honest. It's kind of understated, but like, I think it's going to hold.
Yeah, it's just so different compared to what we've been hearing. And I mean, this is our conversation last week, so...
that's why I love it.
All right. So everybody's favorite, Robert Kelly. R. Kelly. R. Kelly.
Aura.
I was about to say something that was going to get super bleeped.
This is not No Chill Island.
Not yet.
Lenita Carter is R. Kelly's former hairdresser and is pressing charges against R. Kelly, claiming that he sexually abused her. Because, of course.
Oh, Jesus. Just reading this. So, apparently, she says that R. Kelly forced her to perform oral sex on him when she was hired to do his hair in February 2003. By the way, what do you mean hired to do hair? You just do lineups on him, but anyways.
It's a little more comedy with celebrities. You're styling hair and you're like...
What hair?
Dyes and shit.
Well, it is 2003. You got some wet...
Do-rags.
Do-rags, that's a good Nas song.
Because I also realized in 2009, Kelly released the song Hair Braider, a song about having sex with a woman who braids his hair.
No, the worst thing is that she called the Chicago police. Oof. It's not a good rap. The same day the incident happened, and that apparently his semen was detected on the shirt she was wearing.
Less than a year later, Carter accepted a $650,000 settlement and agreed not to go public with the incident. Carter said the song's lyrics mirrored her account of Kelly's assault and signed an agreement for another $100,000 with Kelly, who agreed to never perform the song or include it on future albums.
Jesus Christ! The balls on that fucking...
If that weren't already just gross and bad enough, the whole Michael Avenatti thing actually throws a little bit of a curveball into the R. Kelly thing. Let me explain as best as I can. I think I wrote it down because it's a lot. So, this week or this past week, Michael Avenatti was arrested for attempting to extort Nike and the NCAA in this like elaborate scheme that was going to blame them for something. I don't know.
Was it the shoe exploiting or what?
Yeah, I just don't care about Michael Avenatti. And no, it has nothing to do with the actual shoe exploitation that Nike does. But it's okay because the Afro guy has money. Anyways.
Hey, they make good golf apparel, so I'm sorry.
Michael Avenatti gave Chicago PD the tapes that got R. Kelly in trouble most recently.
Oh, okay.
So now it's calling into question the validity of the tapes. So before you say, oh shit, R. Kelly's innocent, it's more just like, well, R. Kelly's being attacked from multiple fronts, and by attacked I mean having to face his past on multiple fronts. And so maybe some things don't come to fruition. But it's like with Bill Cosby. Okay, let's say three women are lying about Bill Cosby. That's 3 out of 60. So like... It's not like this is something super different or establishes something different for R. Kelly. Anyways, speaking of controversy, because we love that on this show, Deutschland, the Rammstein video. Mm. Controversy or nah?
So, as the resident German, know the history of the country. And, I mean, it's actually very complex.
People, the culture, the music, the marching.
Whoa. So this is, first off, they're releasing an album for the first time in 10 years in May. So we'll have to review that. It's some Rammstein signs I fucks with. Heavy.
Other ones, they don't let me down like Gesaffelstein.
And then others I'm like, this is interesting. But I mean, I use Rammstein and Warped Up with Hockey with, but that's a side note. So they released they had like a little teaser thingy and some of the community of humans, well, names, got a little booty tickled on it, but they were waiting for the whole release of the video. Dan just gave me bam eyes right now. It's beautiful. And they released the full music video 2 days ago, and it's about 10 minutes long, and it just gives you like a very dark history of Germany. So the whole central theme is, if you don't know who Germania is in German folklore, folk culture is like the goddess of Germany or so. So you like on the Brandenburg Tor and whatnot, you have the Germania sitting there and whatnot. So it's a woman dressed up in like body armor and stuff with wings. That's Germania. So Germany were feminist before anybody was feminist, by the way, because that shit was going on in like the 1300s. So
we're not going to call that feminist, but let's move forward.
Let's get in there, son. So anyways, that's kind of the central theme of the video is that, and it goes from the Roman times all the way up to modern times now, but they have a lot of Nazi imagery in there, and they have some stuff in the Cold War era and shit, but there was a little scene with in a concentration camp where the band members were dressed up in jail pins, I don't know what you call them, pinstripes.
Guard,
yeah. With one had, because in the concentration camps you had the if you were Jewish, you had a Star of David. If you had a pink symbols because you were gay. If you had one other thing, you were a gypsy. All the stuff that they were going against. So one
if
each
you had a Campanile, you're a Jehovah's Witness.
All right.
Young Watchtower Society, don't sleep.
Jesus Christ. All right, going over that. So each one of the members had one thing of them, and then they were like getting hanged. But then halfway through the video, it showed like the guards then getting shot by the prisoners themselves, so it showed like the turnings of the war and against the Nazi regime, and then it had symbolisms of the JDR, which is the West Germany president, and then the DDR, the East Germany president.
But people got really
super ready to get offended. About it.
People were ready to get offended by the teaser of the Deutschland video, yeah. Which showed the Nazi imagery. When the full 10-minute context of the video is like, this is a video called Deutschland,
and
which is about
history.
German history and like shows about it. So yes, of course, it's going to talk about the context of the Holocaust. If you actually watch the video, as Sean says, it shows like those same guards being killed. So Rammstein is Antifa.
Yeah, it's just interesting. It just gives you a dark little thing of history. But it, like the song itself says that we want to hate you, but we love you. So it's like a love-hate relationship with the country itself.
Which
is what so many Germans feel, trust me. Something because it's extremely hard to be proud to be German because you always have that stigma against you, so...
And, like, it's the history as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's very complicated history. So, and it's something that it's going to take generations to get over and stuff. And it's, I don't know if that stigma will ever go away, especially not anytime soon because of history.
Nor if it should. I think that countries should be able to, or like people should be able to have a, like you said, a complicated, complex, nuanced kind of view of national pride, where it's like not our supremacy over others, but our nuanced history brought us to where we are today, and we celebrate that while also recognizing where it came from.
I mean, see, they should do that against Spain, England, and France.
Audioface is secretly a podcast about morals.
Yeah, so, I mean, I actually like the video a lot. It has a lot of Easter... If you know German culture, it has a lot of Easter eggs. Like, the guy who was the head of the... who's playing as the head of the DDR, he was in Goodbye Lenin, which is a film about the fall of the East.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I'm like, I know where this is from. I know where that actor's from. I swear he's from Goodbye Lenin. Looked it up.
Well-done music video will definitely have that.
Yeah, so... And we'll review their album and shit, but stop getting booty tickled. It's nothing to get booty tickled about. Happened. Jesus Christ.
Sheck West is reportedly facing no charges following his LA abuse allegations. The charges were dropped due to lack of evidence.
If it does not fit, you
Justine must Sky, we had talked about this on Audioface before previously.
A
Justine
few weeks
Sky
ago.
Had released surveillance footage of Sheck West jumping over a gate and then he got a restraining order. So it's weird. Like, it's very hard to prove some of these things. Not everyone's as sloppy, I promise, no pun intended, as R. Kelly when it comes to evidence of these kinds of things. But Sean is just shaking his head and is literally turning red. I literally didn't mean it that way. He's just, he just leaves his evidence all over the place. And so what I really, we have to kind of look at artists like this in a very nuanced way. I love making Sean just incredibly uncomfortable.
He's towing the fucking line today. God damn, you're towing that line. Let's get over it. Lion Babe album, Cosmic Wind. 15 songs, 54 minutes long.
This is an album
first,
with,
Jesus Christ. You go first, since I went first last album.
I know
go.
What you mean.
You speak, Sean.
It's an album with songs on it. none of these songs are, like, basically all these songs are 3 minutes or longer, with a couple of rare exceptions, like maybe one exception. It's a very kind of classic standard album, at least in 2019. I really liked it. It's really light on the features, and I think where it adds the features, it really creates a lot of depth to the song that's on. Western World with Raekwon almost sounded like a Doom feature, which is sort of really cool.
Okay.
What?
Western World. I got beef. I don't know if they tried to copy it on purpose or if they didn't. It sounds so much like Pep Shop Boys' West End Girls.
I don't know.
Because I fucks heavy with that song.
Right.
The whole beat of the entire song and even Western World does the same damn tune as West End Girls. And I was just listening to it and I go, did they just do their like rendition of West End Girls or what? In a Western town, a Western world, it's hard to find some peace. In the middle of the night, she's on her phone. Because it is straight out of it. And if there's nothing on it right now, A, that means everybody is asleep as fuck. And B, they're shortlisted for the...
it's meant to be like an homage to that.
It is, actually.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, good.
It's meant to match the... I'm reading it from a Rolling Stone article right now. It's meant to match the rhythms and interpolation of Pet Shop Boys' West End Girls.
Okay, good, because that song is a classic and West End Girls is a jam forever.
Come on, we know Lion Babe. It's not like she's
I
just
don't
gonna,
know.
Like,
it's 2019, Bob!
She wrote with Disclosure, okay?
I know! Have we seen her? Have we seen the hair?
You think Lion Babe's gonna low pump us right now?
I mean, it is... It's not gonna count it up on us, Canada.
Gonna YG us right now? That's right.
No, that's the worst ever. I don't think anybody can ever YG. Sorry to steal your thunder, but that one just, I remember putting that song on, I just sitting there like, what? Okay, keep going.
Okay. but yeah, I think that it does this sort of neo-soul thing that we're seeing from a lot of music. And, you know, I've seen it actually so much that it might start to even get kind of on the I'm sick of it, do something different side. But it's a very versatile kind of subgenre, so I'll allow it. There are some songs that are just, like, downright really catchy. And there also tend to be some of the slower songs, too, which, you know, doesn't really happen for me. I think Reminisce was really nice. I think but maybe my favorite from these album is song 11, Sexy Please. Because it's both just like a song that's like a request and also a statement and just like a description of self while also just a groove. Which is a really versatile song, added to Sex Playlist for sure. And yeah, as a full album, it just ticks most of the boxes I want from it. It's complete. It like does its job. I guess I'll just say, like, as a Lion Babe album, there's nothing that just sort of stuck out to me and made me go, wow. There are some really good songs in here that I really enjoy and I'll definitely come back to, but like, no wowzers. And I even had a couple of wowzers from the Billie Eilish album this week. But no, it's just sort of like, these are some really like mellow grooves, but like
robot video game beats.
Yeah. If I'm gonna not robot video game beats at all, but like, if I'm gonna complain, it's that it's not astounding, which is something I end up doing with albums I find are really high quality. So take that for what it's worth.
I mean, yeah, I come to the same fruition of it. I like song 3, Into Me, a lot. That's a very, very good tune.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think that song also really balances, like, a lot of the, like, lyrically, it balances the different ways you can be attracted to someone, like, even in the chorus. The
yeah, exactly. Intimacy, sexually, emotionally, financially, spiritually. So, I mean, overall, I did like this album. Nothing super stuck out to me except the Pet Shop Boys remix and Into Me. Those two songs I liked a lot. Except, actually, I didn't like the Raekwon feature on Fake West End Girls.
Interesting.
I don't know. It just threw it off to me. The other features were okay, but that one I just go, that just felt a little, I don't know, a little synthetic to me in a way where it just, the song didn't need it. So he could have taken them off and then just kept the song as is and it would have been fine. But
Auntie Uncle Rap Sean over here.
Yeah, I'm fucking, stop.
It's on a warpath.
I am on a warpath. So, yeah, it's good. So this is a solid, like, I don't even know, what's a standard plane? What does JetBlue fly?
There's some like Brazilian planes that JetBlue bought.
That's kind of wild.
What is it? Whatever, but there are these... Never mind. There are these planes that JetBlue flies that are like... Oh, Embraer 190.
I've never heard of them in my life.
It's from like a South American company and they fly their like smaller flights. So they're basically not flying long enough to distances to kill you.
Ah, all right. Yeah, that I could do that.
They have like 60 like passengers on board. It's a really small thing.
All right. Interesting.
The nose does not fly straight down and kill all of its passengers, if that's what you're asking. And, this is not necessarily a fun note, but this also necessarily isn't the end of Audio Face, because we've got No Chill Island in just a moment. Look at that. Time flies. But this has been a little bit of a long time coming. Radiohead has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Thom Yorke couldn't give two fucks.
None of them can.
Well, here are the two reasons why I wanted to bring it up. Because we talk about Radiohead as, like, transcendent and great and the best and whatever, but, like, let's remember, like, Radiohead named themselves after a Talking Heads song, Radiohead.
Yeah. Yes.
And so Talking Heads frontman, David Byrne, was actually there to present them with the award.
That's pretty fucking cool. Yeah, when I heard that, I'm like, that's awesome.
For what it's worth, like, Radiohead doesn't like awards. They particularly didn't care about being nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a couple of times and not quite getting it, but finally getting it. They didn't care when they were in the running. They didn't care when they got it. But I think that's just really cool. Byrne had also had a really cool things to say about them, including their decision to stop playing Creep. The belief that OK Computer would be career suicide from Capitol Records, but they did it anyways.
Capitol Records can suck their nutsack for that.
Byrne also said that Kid A was his favorite album, noting that it proved that, quote, music fans sometimes are not stupid.
All right. Burn. Woke ward over here. And it's cool because Ed and Phil were there in suits, nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. Johnny Greenwood, Colin.
And Thom.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Wait.
Thom, Johnny, and
Colin weren't there.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they had prior commitments, which is probably like, I don't know what the fuck they do with their lives. Johnny's probably writing another soundtrack, yeah, knowing him, to be honest.
I also keep, like, it's also like, it's just. Not only their like Radiohead's artistic risks, but the way they played around with like music industry dynamics. Like we talked about Matty Healy and his relationship to fans. And Rainbows, one of the best albums ever made.
It was free.
Alternative Music Gold was Pay What You Want.
Yep.
And that was a huge experiment that just totally worked out well because most people paid the average price for an album. Many people paid significantly more. Mm-hmm. And I bet you those
paid $7.
I bet you those people who didn't pay like the full maybe $8 to $11 would be an average market price for an album. Definitely paid a lot more in Radiohead merch after that. Or just Thom Yorke just came to get their money. But
yeah, they're just pioneers. I don't want to talk about it too much because we named our fucking podcast after Radiohead.
This is why we did it. Yeah. And we haven't gone like, you know, we get new listeners all the time, which is really awesome. Hello, Organics, please stay. And so it's worth explaining this sometimes.
Well, Kid A revolutionized music because it ironically made pop into pop because they made electronic music more applicable and more mainstream.
They showed the versatility of electronic. It's not just like some weird underground dance thing, and it's not some just like fucking around with sounds in a very academic sense. It's like you can do make great music.
They did that. And then they have the greatest God made album by blessed by Jesus Christ himself,
Hail to the Thief. But anyways,
I'm on a war path to get everybody to like that album.
It is now time for us, just like that, to go into a fan favorite segment.
Fucking bleeped heavy.
Welcome, humans, to No Chill Island.
Add the horn over my shitty one. So, first one, first on the list. So, rules are first, before. It's whoever gets bleeped first loses. So we have a line, imaginary line, the blue
zone. This is a very real line because Audio Face is a podcast about morals. And so there's a line.
There's a line, and make sure your skate doesn't go over before the puck so you don't go offside.
Make sure that you don't cross the line when you're talking about these very, very contentious issues in the world of culture and music and society itself.
And Cardi B. So
Cardi B drugs men. Spanish fly.
What?
Remember Bill Cosby said the Spanish fly? You just drop it in their drinks and...
Oh, Jesus.
Because, you know, that's what Bill Cosby did, steal their money. No, so...
He also stole them way more than their money.
A troubling video of Cardi B resurfaced this past week from an old Instagram story that she did, where she used to talk about going to the strip club and drugging and robbing men.
This is some Joey Diaz 1980s shit.
To roughly quote, oh, you want to fuck me? Yeah, let's go to this hotel. I drug people up and I rob them. That's what I used to do. Confess the invasion of privacy rapper. And so a lot of people went to Twitter, because, you know, people have opinions and they are on Twitter, to say, hey, isn't this similar to what Bill Cosby did? Isn't this as bad as what R. Kelly did? And the answer is no. And we both have very nuanced opinions on
so
this.
So, for a few reasons. One, she wasn't famous at the time. She was trying to make a living, and there's a life of crime out there, man. And life of crime, shit gets wild. Shit goes down.
Point one.
Whereas
all these other artists that we're talking about, Kelly, Bill Cosby, were doing it from a point of power, using their power over
exactly.
Someone. We'll put a pin in that. But
yeah,
continue.
Exactly. But that's one big point I wanted to make, because coming from a position of power and raping somebody is a lot different than coming from a position of I need to make money and these guys are vulnerable and taking advantage of that. Still dog shit. Don't drug people. Cover your drinks, ladies and men.
And men, apparently, now. I was in this random mood while I was listening to JJ Doom, which I think was the last good MF Doom collaboration.
That was good.
No, Nuruvian Doom was
Nuruvian Doom came after, because Nuruvian Doom was going
But it was hard. Definitely like the sunsetting of Doom's career.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a song in it called Wash Your Hands, which is about which is about Doom being a complete germaphobe. And there's one lyric that goes, villain bring his own mug to the bar. And I'm literally it's about to get like that now because of... being drugged unconscious.
I mean,
and so
that would be me. I'm not paranoid.
Do you have more takes about Cardi B, or should I start?
Start, because anything else I'm going to say is going to get too rapey.
Okay. I would hope not, Sean. I would definitely hope not. The reason you mentioned that it's not like a position of power, I'll put an asterisk on that and come back to it very soon.
Yeah.
But this was drugging without apparently sexual behavior.
It's just drugging
to take their money. Yeah.
Oh, so it's more just like fuck. Okay, that changes
like,
a lot.
It's like seduce, drug, and then take their
robbery.
Money.
Robbery. Okay.
Yeah.
That old robbery extortion.
Yeah. So it's like it still sort of applies. There's not actually sexual assault happening, at least the way she's telling it. Of course, it doesn't seem like Cardi B would go, oh yeah, I was sexually assaulting people doing the same thing too. Like, she's not gonna out herself. But I find this to still, that there's still not a power dynamic in the sense that you're have any like actual power over them, but still like a sexual sort of situation.
You're a stripper, so you gotta make money.
Yeah, but I think, so my arguments for sex work is that you can just get rid of all the social taboos and heebie-bejeebies about like human funny parts and just talk about it like a business transaction.
See, that's what Germans do. They're like, tits, cool, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think prostitution is legal in Germany.
But no, but it's not. It's not frowned upon.
My point is that
not least here is like
at the very least, this is like an unfair business transaction, where you're like advertising one thing, or you're saying you're going to do something and not holding your end on the deal. And more aptly, this is like saying you're going to make a deal with your business partner and then you drug them and take their briefcase at the bar. Like this is some Donald Trump Tower shit. Like trying to work trying to work with Deutsche Bank, telling the Germans that his tower is 10 feet higher than it actually is. Like that, this is like,
the Germans still taking the money.
It's definitely a bad look for Cardi B. I think the cancel Cardi stuff is a little bit overblown, and she actually did apologize.
Well, she said she's not proud of it. She's owning up to it.
Yeah. I never claim to be perfect or come from a perfect world or a perfect past, but I always speak my truth and own my shit. I still think it's like unclear whether it was like went past the line of sexual assault, in which case I think this is a little bit of a different conversation. And I think it's an interesting one because I don't think women should just get off scot-free because they're women and committing these actions. We should hold them to a similar amount of scrutiny.
Fuck yeah.
But, like when you...
That's feminism.
But when you try to do that and you look at the facts, like...
Facts don't care about your feelings.
R. Kelly wishes his thing is like, acts look this clean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that happening.
In other Cardi B news, is about to be trademarked. So I might get sued for that someday.
If she trademarks that, can I trademark Gubs?
Yeah, you absolutely can.
I'll do that then. Y'all gotta pay me.
Jay-Z trademarked the Rockefeller hand gesture. Remember? So you can do anything.
Yeah. Don't drink Cristal.
Okay. It's gonna...
tiptoe over that!
Tech N9ne is dead. Long live Tech N9ne. There's a rapper... So there's a rapper called Tech N9ne. He's a battle rapper from Philly, I believe, or at least Pennsylvania, you know, one of the square states.
Hey, Pennsylvania's cool, except Philly. Philly's a dog shit place. Sorry, anybody who listens to you from Philly.
He died over the weekend. Condolences to battle rapper Tech N9ne, said Tech N9ne, 47. He's been battling for years. I've observed many battles of his. Condolences to the family. Condolences to the great Tech N9ne. Tweeted by Tech N9ne. So what's going on here?
There are too many. Oh my god!
There are two Tech N9nes. There are too many Tech N9nes. There's one Tech N9ne who that's spelled Tech and then the number 9, and that's the one who died. He's the battle rapper. Tech N9ne spelled Tech and the number 9 and E is the one that you probably have heard more of.
Can somebody make another Tech? Can a German make Tech N9ne, but Tech 9 and EIN?
I think they were working on some prototypes along with the other. Anyways, it's a lot of people were definitely very confused over the fact that literally they have the same fucking name and neither of them spell it in a way that's like easier. Like none of them, the second one didn't Google apparently and go, oh wait, there's another one. But, yeah, people had to get clear that no, it's not Tech N9ne who died, it was Tech N9ne who died.
I don't know. Are they amigos?
Cigaros! Hey, your taxes!
Yeah, so this is a story that I've heard of a couple years ago, like it first started where they were getting investigated for tax evasion because apparently, from 2011 to 2014, I guess their first tax man or whatever at that period fucked up their filing or some shit.
Right.
So, and then it's been like a few year investigation and now they come to the conclusion that they evade a total of about $1.5 million of taxes, $1.4 million of taxes. And they're like,
No, $1.6 million income, of which they should have paid $725,000 in taxes.
Oh.
No, sorry, that's for the other band members.
No, because in total, all of them.
Yeah.
So I guess they're now...
They evaded a total of 151 million Icelandic krona, or 945,000 British pounds, or $1.
One day it's gonna be that low. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna short the fucking shit out of English currency, and good lord, I'm gonna import a goddamn Jaguar I-Pace from England for $2. It's gonna land on my driveway. It's like when you're in Battlefield in a Firestorm and you have the flare gun to call in tanks and shit. Now that's what I'm gonna do. Flare guns, like I-Pace, boop.
Getting a pack of grandma's cookies in an Aston Martin.
It's 100%. A fucking neon green Aston Martin.
Got that new Vanquish.
Rolling up in some brand new Fred Perry. Fuck yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So yeah, it's interesting. They didn't want to have to deal with anything like this because they're notoriously shy and, you know, they don't like being in the news and shit. And
fuck it,
like,
pay up.
And they're like, well, thanks guy who fucked up, now they gotta pay up. So, and they're complying too, they're like, yeah, we'll pay up. We'll fucking pay up, but our guy fucked up. So
yeah, I want them to pay up like Maddow the first day of the Mueller report. Like, fucking pay your taxes, dog. And Lil Pump has been posting, he's a little weird. He's been posting a lot of distress calls on Instagram. To his Instagram story, including one where he said, quote, I feel like I'm gonna die soon and all this will be over. Peace emoji.
Well, I hope you turn into your fucking frowny face and your goddamn stupid unibrow that you shave, and I hope you die, you fucking fuck.
Oh, Jesus.
I was gonna say something really bad, but...
I mean, it's fine. Gazi Garcia, apparently, he's facing a little bit of hard times, probably because his album isn't selling well, his teeth look like Quavo's, which is really ridiculous. He's trying to be a fake black person, even though his dick's probably 2 inches, and probably doesn't even impress Ariana Grande, who was even impressed by that one skinny-looking from SNL. So I don't even know how much that's
going. That guy looked like Casper the meth ghost. Whatever his name was, I remember first saw him like, dude, how much coke do you snort before you go on? Like, your eyes look like they're popping out like a fucking head of a smegma-ridden cock.
You're putting up fucking numbers.
It's a lot of bleep. Fine.
Rest in peace, Mick Jagger. He's not dead yet, but they just had to.
Can we just say for, you know, on your face, we kill people, right, on this podcast. Right, this is the thing, right?
I didn't kill Mick Jagger.
Right, we kill people on this podcast, right?
Media Matters, will you come back to find this podcast when I've sold out to Fox News and pretend to be a conservative Republican because they care about free speech? Don't come find this clip where I pretended to kill Mick Jagger.
I'm just gonna say, can we kill Lil Pump or what?
Oh, God.
You know I'm down. I'm super down because that frowny face fucking needs to die.
Oh, fuck.
His music is dog shit. Everything he stands for is dog shit. So you know what? Just take some Xan and mix it with some Zerp and some other shit and take a fucking 44 and get it over with.
I don't know. Why can't we just like launch Lil Pump towards the wall of Trump's building? Just let him splat all over that warn them fucking that's next. They fucking curl their hair.
No. That doesn't happen because the wall, remember, has little gaps in the wall. So he's skinny enough slats. To where he's gonna fly through the wall to Guatemala, and then he's gonna by the cartel, and he's gonna get coke shoved in his ass and smuggled through back to the border.
What if they like
through the wall?
What if they launch Lil Pump through the slat so it's like a fucking cheese grater, and he comes back on either side so the little like fucking Salvadoran kids can eat up on his little like innards and insides. Fucking like roast that shit like chitlins or something. I don't know. It's roughing and fucking.
My baby's on the motherfucking chitlins.
Fucking like.
I guess a new one.
I mean, it's global warming, so like.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
What if we just drop nukes on Tijuana, guys?
I'm down. Fuck it. Tijuana's a shit show. I mean, that's where you go. For Autoface listeners, if you really want to get illegal narcotics, go to TJ, bud. That's where you get the good shit. That shit that, you know, you might die on, but it's going to be the best experience of your life. But you'll probably end up dying.
I love how you say to the listeners of Audioface as if any of this is going to be in the podcast.
Oh, none of this is going to be on. It's just a clean cut. Just edit. Delete. Yeah, solid. That's a solid and chill, though.
Yeah, none of that last several minutes happened. This has been Audioface. You kind of jumped over my outro when I was hosting last time, so I'll do it this time to make it even.
Yeah.
You can follow us at the show on Twitter and Instagram at AudiofacePod, where we'll post things. You can follow Sean on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan from the Web. On Instagram at Dan from the Internet. We appreciate you rating the podcast 5 stars, or telling people about it, or just tweeting about it, or sharing about it, or posting on it to Zuckbook. It really helps people discover the show. And we really appreciate it. Long live Mick Jagger.
Cheers.